He who says he's in the light, or he walks in the light, and hates his brother. And again, that's present tense. It's a fixed, settled principle of life for this individual. So whoever hates his brother is in what? He's in darkness until now.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of 1 John. Today's message is titled, Real Love Brings Assurance. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about real love and what it brings. When we obey the commandments of God, when we do what God says, when we walk in love, it produces something in our hearts. It literally brings assurance to our hearts because we know we are doing what God has commanded us to do. Amen? Isn't it a wonderful feeling to be assured? I mean, to have assurance, to say, Lord, you know my heart, you know I'm doing the right thing. Now, we've been studying about the true evidence of those who are born again, and we know from all the previous times, you know, that we don't walk in darkness, we walk in the light. We don't live an habitual life of sin because we're the children of God, amen? But the number one proof or evidence that a person is born from above is that they have the supernatural love of God, not only abiding in them, but it's seen coming from them to others. Amen? So love is literally the highest form of righteousness in God's Word, okay? Now, with all that being said, when we think about John, it's like John, almost like you want to say to John, do you have another sermon besides love? I mean, that's good, but it's like, I mean, that's why we call him the apostle of love. It's over and over. I mean, let me just look at my notes. Love, agape. 18 times John uses it, more than any other epistle in the New Testament besides 1 Corinthians, loved one. So it's repetitious over and over. But real love brings something. When we walk in it, it brings assurance. It brings certainty. That's why in Hebrews 10:22, remember when it talks about let us draw near with a true heart with full what? Assurance. See, assurance is the root of assurance is faith. Now faith is the what? Okay, the substance. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So the assurance, we can be assured from God's word when we walk in love that we can have that certainty. We live in a time that Jesus called the beginning of sorrows. Now we know from Matthew's gospel, chapter 24, verse 12, that Jesus told us that in the last days that the love of many, that is agape by the way, the love of many would grow cold. It says that lawlessness would abound. Sin would be everywhere. And he's talking about those in the church in the last days, those who profess to know Christ, that their love would grow cold. Now, that means it wasn't always cold. It means it grew cold. Amen? And so we're living in that time. So what does cold love do in the church? God forbid, but it's here now, and it's going to increase. The Bible tells us, whenever cold love manifests itself, let me tell you what's going to happen in the beginning of sorrows. And what's really tragic, it starts in the family. Let me read the scripture from Jesus when he said in Mark 13:12, he said, now brother will betray brother, and listen how they do it. He says, to death. He says, and a father and a child. They will rise up against parents, and they will cause their own parents to be put to death. And Jesus said, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. In other words, because of your relationship of walking as he walked here on this planet, loved one. So cold love not only betrays, cold love hates, And cold love murders, because cold love is not in the light, it's always in darkness. So real love brings assurance. And loving one another, walking in love, is the true litmus test for every believer, okay? Every child of God. Now, that's why John says in our text this morning, beginning in verse 10, now we covered some of this last Sunday, so I'm just briefly covering verse 10 again. He says, in this, or literally by this, okay? By this, the children of God and the children of the what? Boy, the devil, they're made known, they're seen, or they're manifest. Whoever, no matter who they are, whoever does not practice righteousness, living right before God, is not of God. Nor is he who does not what? Not love the world, not love his neighbor, but love whom? His brother. That's Christians loving each other like we do, loved one. Now listen, this is God's truth. Amen? It's not my truth, it's God's truth. Aren't you glad that we have a book? You have a book that cannot lie. Amen? It's the only book in the world that cannot lie. You can turn to anywhere and there's never a lie from God. Amen? God can't lie. Praise the Lord. So what does John do, or really what does the Holy Spirit do? As we learned last Sunday, our Father divides the world in his eyes. He divides the world into two families, and there's absolutely no tolerance. There is no middle ground. A person is either a child of the living God or he is a child of the devil. So every person, it doesn't matter, again, no matter where they are, they're either in Adam, and in Adam all die, or they're either in Christ, and in Christ all live. They're either spiritually made alive, born again, or they are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. So two fathers produce two different lifestyles. Amen? So this morning, we're going to look here about murder and hatred. And like in verse 11 and 12, it's murder. Verse 13, 15, hatred. 16, 17 is going to be apathy. And then when we get to 18 and following, it's all about love. Let's look at verse 11 now. John writes, and he says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Do you know that we really don't need a new message? Amen? We don't need a new message. And you know why we don't need a new message? It's never changed. It's never going to change. It's just as fresh right this minute as it was 2,000 years ago. Amen? So when you look at that passage right there, just think about that command to love one another. Look back, if you will. Hold your place. Go back to chapter 2, verse 7. He writes to us and he says, "Brethren," or loved ones, "I write no new commandment to you, but an old one." Now, we know the old one is Leviticus 19:18, about that we should love one another. He says, "I write to you but an old commandment, but a new one, which you have heard from the beginning." The old commandment, which you heard from the beginning. So this command, it's new, meaning in quality. Remember one time I told you that doctrinal Christianity is always old to every generation. Amen? But it's old, but literally it becomes new. A person never, in this generation, you're going to learn something thousands of years old. Amen? But it's old, but yet it is new to the hearer. So right now, to this generation, I'm not teaching anything new. I'm actually teaching something that was written 2,000 years ago that still stands true right this moment. Amen? So that's very important. Look at verse 8 now of chapter 2. Again, he says, "A new commandment I write to you, which thing," talking about love, "is true," and it's true in Jesus, of course, "and in you." The question I want to ask you is it true in us? That's very important to do a little test there in a self-exam. We know that Jesus is love, and he walks in love everything he does. Amen? But do we practice that? We know that we have the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We know that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if it is, and they live in us, then they should be coming out from us. But this new commandment, which I'm not going to spend a lot of time on because I've spent so much in times past, we know what the new commandment is, loved one. It's agape. Amen. Agape is God's unconditional love that lives inside of us, that seeks the highest good of others, whether they deserve it or not. Amen? That's what God says. So that new commandment is John 13, 34, and 35, where Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Now, the new part is the next part, as I always say, that you love one another, and here's the new part, "as I have loved you." See that you love one another. So that command is not an option. Again, you've heard me say so many times, you know, when we say to love one another, we can't treat it as a noun because love is a verb. It must be demonstrated. And Jesus proved his love for us. Amen. He died on the cross for our sins. Amen. So with all that being said, Jesus goes, and by this, in verse 35 of John 13, by this, in other words, loving each other as I've loved you, he says, "By this all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So we can say a lot of things. We can say, "I belong to this church." We can say, "Hey, I've been water baptized." We can say, "I graduated from seminary." Anything that you want to. But the fact of the matter is that the only thing that truly identifies us to this world is one thing. When the world sees you and me love each other as Christ loved us. Amen? And that's what the world needs to see. So that final test, let me read it to you. John 13, 35. Jesus said, "By this," not because we have gifts and praise the Lord for the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Not because we can lay hands on the sick and some recover and not all but some. Not because we speak in other tongues or any of those things. That's not what the world is going to see. It says, "By this," meaning love, "all will know," Jesus said, "that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." So it's not about what we say. It's about what the world sees. Look at verse 11 now. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And then he gives us a contrast. He says, "Not like Cain." You know, we don't want to love like he loved. "Not as Cain, who was of the whom?" Who was he from? The devil, the wicked one. And look what he did. He murdered his brother. You want to do a word study? Look up that word murder. It literally means that he slit his throat. He slaughtered his brother like an animal. Unbelievable. But that's what that word means. And it says, and why? Why did he do this? Why did he murder him? Look at the reason. Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. This is not going to save anyone or help anyone, but that's the last use of, in this epistle, of the word righteous or righteousness. He leaves it alone now. So what does John do? He takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, and it's verses 1 through 16, which I'm not going to cover all those verses at all. But here's what I want you to see. John takes us all the way back to Cain and Abel. Amen? That's Genesis chapter 4. Amen? What does that tell you? You know what it tells you? Listen very carefully. It tells you that John believed in the book of Genesis. It tells you that he believed that Adam and Eve were real people. It tells you that he believed that there was a person called Cain and there was a person called Abel. Amen? It means that the Bible, he believed all of it to be true and all of it God's word. And so should we, no matter what these other people say that Genesis is a fairy tale or something. You know what I mean? No, that's not true, loved one. It's the living word of God. So we know the story of Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve. You know, they were kicked out of the garden because they sinned. And the Lord, you know, put up the cherubim with the swords right there so they could never re-enter into the garden and so forth. And in the process of time, Adam and Eve, what did they have? They had two sons. One was called Cain, one was called Abel. And think about your parents. I mean, you ever think about Adam and Eve? I mean, they didn't have anybody to talk to but each other. No wonder they were separated. Now think about it. There was nobody else. And then they had these kids. Did the kids have grandparents? Oh, no. Everybody needs grandparents. Two brothers, and here they are. I mean, can you imagine, what is your dad? What does he do for a living? Oh, he just names animals. Well, how about your mom? Oh, she talks to the devil all the time, you know. I mean, think, do you ever just daydream up? Never mind. Now, so there was no one there but them. That was the first family. Now, if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 4, hold your place, and just look at verse 2. It tells us something, Genesis 4, 2, talking about these two brothers, and tells us what they were. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. He worked the ground that God cursed, okay? And in the process of time, that's a very important word, meaning over many months, many years, whatever, over the process of time, it came to pass that they were going to do the first worship session recorded in the Bible. And it says that Cain, here he comes, the oldest, Cain brought an offering, but look what the offering was. It was the fruit of the ground. He brought it to the Lord. But Abel, he also brought of the firstborn of his flock. That means the finest lamb, meaning he brought a blood sacrifice, and of their fat. That means he brought the best portion, if you will. And the Lord, look what he did. He respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but Cain and Abel, they knew how to bring an offering to the Lord, even though it's not specified. How do I know that? It says in the process of time. What did they do, these boys, what did they do in the process of time? I wasn't there. It's not recorded. But do you think, if you know children, were they both born with a fallen nature? Yes, okay. Do you think they might have tried to go? I mean, surely Adam and Eve told them stories about Eden, told them stories about the garden, told them stories about talking with God face to face. You know what I mean? Do you think they played right before the cherubim? Let's see if we can get in there. Maybe we can, that flaming sword, you know. Oh, my ear's gone. I don't know. I know you don't think like that. I'm a weird person. But they knew to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. It had to be a blood sacrifice. Amen? That was how faith was. Now, so here they go. He comes and he does that. And it says in verse 5, and Cain was very angry. Remember, God didn't like his sacrifice. Countenance, oh, it fell. And the Lord said to Cain, well, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? He says, Cain, listen, if you do well, if you do what's right, if you walk in faith and do what I've already, you know to do, hey, you're going to be accepted. But if you do not, well, sin, that's the first mention of sin in the Bible, by the way. Sin has what? Its desire for you. Sin wants to enslave you. Sin wants to destroy you. But God says, oh, listen, you should rule over it. You should rule over sin. So, man, that's the grace of God. God says, come over here. Let's get this thing forgiven, man, and so forth. But Cain wouldn't do it. And now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass over a long period of time now. Well, he didn't like his brother. And it came to pass when they were out in the field that Cain rose up against his brother. And what happened? He killed him. Now, listen, Cain could not kill a lamb, but he could kill his own brother. Man, think about that. And look at something else. The first domestic case of violence, where did it take place? In the home. In the home. Now, Cain became what? The first murderer upon this earth. Now, Cain was not a murderer because he killed his brother. Cain killed his brother because he was a murderer. Amen? Okay, so Abel was the first martyr, if you will. He was also the first man of faith. And again, we know why he killed him. Verse 12 of our scripture that we read, it says, because his deeds, if you will, were evil. His works were evil. In other words, and that word evil is the same word in the Greek for the wicked one, okay? Now, so he was of the wicked one, but it doesn't mean that Satan was his dad or fathered him or anything like that. It doesn't mean that. It just means that his heart was aligned with the thoughts of the devil. Now, so Cain hated his brother, and we know what he did next. If you belong to the devil, are you going to lie? Is the devil the father of lies? Did he sin from the beginning? Was he a murderer from the beginning? Yes. So what did Cain do? The Lord came unto Cain and said, hey, Cain, where's your brother? Where's he at? He says, I don't know. I mean, well, I don't know where he's at. Am I my brother's keeper? And you know, God said, what have you done? I hear the voice of your brother's blood crying out from the ground. So he lied to God. Listen to me now. Real children of God, they love the brethren. And the reason John put this in the scripture in our study is to show us that Cain represents the world that we live in today. And that spirit of Cain is still alive. It's still well. And the spirit of Cain doesn't like righteous people. They don't like those who love God. Amen? That's just the way it is. And so that's why John says in verse 13, look at it, do not marvel, or don't be blown away, don't be surprised, my brethren, if the world hates you, or literally if the world continually hates you. Why? Well, the world even now, is it filled with descendants of Cain? Absolutely. So the spirit of Cain, again, is very active and alive in this world, but we should weep and we should marvel whenever we see the spirit of Cain alive in the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we see brothers and sisters that awed and hate one another, oh my gosh, loved one, that should not be with the church that Jesus purchased with his blood. Amen. Never, no. Let no Christian ever live on the same level as the devil. That's a horrible place to be, loved one. So we're children of God. We love each other. We're not of this world. And look at verse 14. Look at this incredible assurance that God gives us. And it's all about loving one another. Watch it. He says, now we know that we have passed. That word means permanently passed over, okay? It means that, like leaving one country to go to another. We know that we have passed out of death or from death. Why? Because we. And if you're studying the Greek, there is tremendous stress on the word we, okay? It's because we, and John included himself, we love. Who do we love? The brethren. You know, the new commandment is one of the foundational scriptures of this church. Amen? Love never fails, that we're to love one another. So John, now listen, John didn't say because we love the brethren, we have passed from death unto life. He says, here's the tangible evidence that we have passed out of death into life and that you're a real child of God. It's because now you're loving the brethren. Amen? You're loving each other. And if this love is not evident in the life of a Christian, then there's nothing wrong with that person's salvation being questioned, okay? Because you don't have any assurance if you're not loving others, amen? Okay, is that the true litmus test that we're born again? Absolutely. So that's why John says, look in verse 14, the latter part, he who does not love whom? Now that's speaking of a Christian, talking about a Christian. He who does not love his brother abides or lives or is held continually in what? In death, in spiritual death. Now listen to me. Where there is no agape, no love, there is no life. Do you see that? None at all. There is no such thing as a lifeless Christian. You have been made alive. You're no longer dead. Man, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the love of God living in you. Amen? You're a new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. So the absence of love is evidence of something. It's evidence, if that is a believer there that hates his brother, God says in his word, you are abiding in death. And that is the same condition of the unsaved world, loved one. The Bible tells us, and when we get over to chapter 4, verse 7 of John, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone, not just a few people, not just a certain denomination, everyone who loves the agape is born of God. Meaning, born of God means that is the evidence of the new birth. You start loving other people. You start forgiving other people because the one who lives in you forgave the world. Amen?
Well, once again, we're out of time, but please tune in tomorrow for the conclusion to this message. Amen? We appreciate you listening to the broadcast today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.